Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and it's time to take a look at how to deal with all those aches and pains and sprains and strains that you and I develop over the course of every week, it seems, at least for me. Lori Tyne Brody, Senior Physical Therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
Nice to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back on a beautiful day.
Beautiful day. Bill Boisenault, Associate Professor at the UW Medical School. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell you what, we have so many calls. There are apparently a lot of people were out doing things, maybe.
I don't know. It was the first really nice full weekend in a while, so it's not surprising.
No, we were doing a lot of things outside, too. Things we normally quite don't do, getting the boat hoist, working around with that and crawling around on it.
Yeah. I pushed a few wheelbarrows of wet sand, and that was a mistake. So just because you know what you're supposed to do doesn't mean you always do it. So we understand, everybody.
Oh, boy. Laura and Vesper, we'll go to you first. Hi, Laura.
Hello. In the past, I've heard you guys get a lot of calls about painting-related injuries. And this, in the next few weeks, I'm going to start painting. I have a new house, and I'm going to have to do all the rooms, ceilings, and walls. What do I do to prevent having to call you with an injury later?
Hire somebody.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that's just a classic setup for shoulder problems or back problems. The repetitive motion of pushing a paintbrush with that slight bit of pressure against a wall can really stir up a shoulder problem, a tendonitis or a bursitis. And depending upon if you're painting ceilings or how high your setup is, you could be arching your back and give yourself back pain or neck pain by tipping your head backwards continuously. So the first thing I'd say would be to make sure you have appropriate equipment so that you can be at the right height. So you don't have to be bending your neck backwards to look up continuously or bending your back backwards to reach up, even with a long-handled extender, trying to get up towards the top of the walls where you're arching your back. Try to find something you can stand on, a ladder, but even standing on a ladder continuously can be difficult. It can give you plantar fasciitis. And it's terrible, isn't it? We just know all the things that can go wrong. It sounds terrible. But again, trying to get on the same level as your work so you're not having to overextend your spine. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is just the repetitive motion with your arms. So plan ahead. Try to not do it all in a day or a week. And do things very slowly. Give yourself sufficient rest, and do get help. Get help. Get some people to come over and have a painting party, and invest some time in making sandwiches, so that you spread the wealth, so to speak.
Yeah. I agree. This is a great call. We love calls like this. Prevention is a huge priority, and I would agree with Lori. The equipment is key. If you can use the right rollers with the extended handles to help you reach the ceilings and upper part of the walls, have stepping stools or ladders that allow you to get up toward the top of the walls. And like Lori said, giving yourself breaks, short breaks, but a number of them during the course of the day can make a big difference.
Good luck, Laura.
Good luck, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Let's see. Betty Allison Delafield, your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Okay. I'm going to be 65, and I'm in fairly good condition. But my problem is veins or pains in my legs at night when I go to bed. I'm thinking it's varicose veins, but I'm not sure. But I do work, and I stand a lot, and then sometimes I do a lot of walking. But I don't take a normal walk outside. My problem, I think, it's from my behind my knees and down below to my calf, and now it's been shooting up towards the top of my legs. And it's mainly in my right leg that has been giving me the problem. I just don't know what it is for sure.
Okay. Well, the varicose veins that you mentioned, that certainly can be a pain generator. But when you started adding pain above the knee, then I started thinking beyond the leg and maybe have to consider potentially coming from your low back area. It's not uncommon to have pain down the back of the leg, thigh, as well as below the knee coming from the back. How long has this been going on?
I would say this last year mostly.
Okay.
I did lose some weight, and then I gained some of it back, but I'm not obese. I'm right on up on the border.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any numbness or tingling along with this?
During the day, I don't notice it too much. Okay.
Okay.
But at nighttime, I used to get those cramps in your legs.
Yeah.
And I'd have to put my feet up and whatever. And my doctor told me to drink quinine water, tonic water. So that really helped.
Okay. All right, good. So that helped with the cramping.
Yeah, okay. But now I don't get the cramping, but I get the pain.
Yeah. As well. All right. And it sounds like this is it worse now than it was a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah. It's every night.
Okay. All right. Well, my recommendation would be, I mean, it does sound probably more vascular than related to your back based on what you described.
Right.
And probably would be a good time to go back and see your physician, considering it's worsening over the last couple of months, and have them re-examine you and see if anything else has changed in order for them to recommend something beyond the quinine water, which took care of the cramping, which is great, but pain's not fun. And that's what I would recommend at this point in time.
One other thing that I found out that works, not the one the head on, but the one for Activine. And I put that on, and then it seems to take the pain away.
Mm-hmm.
Put what on?
The only one.
I'm sorry, what did you put on?
Activon. It's not the head-on, that advertisement, but the Activon. I don't know if we're supposed to say.
Yeah, that's fine. Activon.
I don't know what that is.
It's instead of AC Hot,
it comes
in a tube and you turn it, and it's similar to that.
Okay.
And that makes it work. And then I've also raised my feet up with a pillow underneath my foot because I had injured my ankle, but my ankle seems to be all right. Now, I don't know if that has something to do with it, too.
Okay.
Could be.
I would think this would be a good time to go back and see your physician, have them re-examine you, and because it's different than the usual musculoskeletal complaints, where we could give more specific advice from a physical therapy perspective.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks, Betty.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Christy and Spooner, hi to you.
Hello, Larry. Great admirer of your and all your radio stations with. The pet people and everything else. I really enjoy everything you do for the radio. Thank you. Bill, this question is directed at you. A couple of months ago, and I sent you an email, and I certainly understand you're very busy, but you had mentioned something about custom-made shoes.
Yes.
And I've got severe rheumatoid arthritis, really bad in my feet. I have had custom orthotics made, tried different things, been to the podiatrist. But, you know, my feet, my toes are just bent and crinkled, and I have a heck of a time on my feet on a couple different jobs. So I thought maybe the custom-made shoes might be the solution for me.
Yes, and I did get your recent email, and I've been out of town the last week and a half, so I haven't gotten back. Thank you for calling again.
I'm just so excited that you're on the radio today.
Well, we can take care of a number of things here. We had found on the internet a shoe company in Berlin, Wisconsin, that made custom shoes that we'll look up and search for here. And also Russell Moccasin is a good brand for some of the deformities that you described in your feet and other people who have rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the internet and pull up their website as well.
Russell Moccasin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But we'll also look up try to find the place in Berlin.
Isn't that the place in Berlin?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it is. Larry's going to verify this because we have everything up to date here. We have the internet here and we can find it. But I'm pretty sure that's the name of the place in Berlin. And you should be able to Google that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's really great because I'm hoping, you know, the custom orthotics, which were very expensive, just were not the solution. And I tried them and really gave it a good shot. And then I did the happy feet thing, and that was really expensive, and that didn't help. And
were your custom orthotics rigid or soft or?
They're kind of a combination of both.
Okay, all right. So they're the in between. They can either be hard or soft or somewhere in between. So sometimes they're just too firm, and if they're not, if they're not just a precise fit, and particularly with someone with feet like yours, where your pain may move around on any given day, you know, they fit you on a certain day, but then on another day, your feet are really fairly different. So I think in general, you need something that's a bit more accommodating.
Right, and the orthotics certainly it helps support your foot, but the shoe wear is critical along with the orthotic. So you need a good marriage between the two.
Right, and I, you know, I'm one of these people that I've always, I've, maybe at a point in time, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I might have bought shoes too small, but I learned that pretty quickly. And I've also, I've spent, you know, it's $80 plus for shoes. I've not bought cheap shoes.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. And that's true across the board for people with rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis or just leg pain in general. So,
I tell you, if I could have all the money I've spent on shoes, I would be able to retire.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see if I can find some more here. I'm just running into a little block here, but I'll stay listening. I'll come up with it. What was the
Thank
moccasin?
You for calling again.
I think it wasn't it called Russell Moccasin?
Russell Moccasin. Mm-hmm. We'll try that once and see.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's go to Bill in Hollandale. Bill, hello to you.
Hello. Thank you, Larry.
Sure.
I'm having trouble with my elbow, and my physician said that it's tennis elbow. I haven't had any x-rays or anything to actually confirm it or whatever, and he suggested to leave. And there, I'm wondering about two things. One thing, I'm wondering if there are exercises I can do to strengthen muscles or whatever that might compensate. And I'm also wondering if there are any surgical or other things that can fix it. To give you a little background, 2 years ago I had a torn rotator cuff fixed in my left shoulder. I've had a torn meniscus in my right knee, and my two sports are golf and archery.
Oh.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. So is the tennis elbow in the hand that pulls the bow back?
Yes, it'd be the right. It's the right elbow. It's
right.
Also the one that I hit the ball with, basically, with the right-handed golf swing.
Right. Well, first of all, an X-ray really isn't going to confirm a diagnosis. It can rule out any bony abnormality, but tennis elbow is a soft tissue problem. So for the time and money spent on a radiograph, there's not much return. So I wouldn't sweat that too much. In terms of medication, he puts you on an anti-inflammatory. There may or may not be an inflammatory component to this problem. To see people after age 40 to 45, most of these problems are actually degenerative in nature, so they don't always respond well to an anti-inflammatory. Often people do just as well with a pain reliever such as Tylenol or acetaminophen that doesn't have an anti-inflammatory component. It'll take care of the pain just as effectively. But the real mainstay of treatment is therapy, is rehabilitative exercises to increase the strength of the tendon and the muscle-tendon unit. Basically, you have an overuse problem, probably from the combination of golf and probably mostly your archery because of the gripping. These muscles are really involved with gripping, so every time you grip the bow and then pull on it, places a lot of strain on that. So I would get referred to physical therapy and see a physical therapist, particularly one who specializes in sports, perhaps, and have them examine you and design a treatment program for you. It may include things like a wrist splint to rest those muscles, because they're actually muscles that move your wrist, not your elbow, even though they're located at your elbow, or perhaps a brace at your elbow to help take some of the strain off the insertion of that tendon into the bone. But it really takes a fairly multifaceted treatment approach, particularly in people who have avocations such as yours. So mm-hmm. I would get into a physical therapist, particularly because these things are so important to you. It's going to be tough to get over these. The medication alone won't do it. Your last question about surgery, not much out there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Bill. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Our email is down this morning for some reason, so we're not able to receive emails, but just call us at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Berlin, Wisconsin is the home of the Russell Moccasin Company. So
fantastic.
That's the one. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Boys and Alton, Lori Tyne Brody, our guests today here on the Ideas Net as we talk about aches and pains and how to deal with them. Larry Mueller here. We will go right back to our phones and to Jim in New Franklin next. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I'm on my cell phone, and hopefully we won't get cut out. But I'm a 57-year-old guy that's been very active, and I have very flat feet, no arches, that I have orthotics for. And I also have a little bit of plantar fasciitis. And I was just wondering if the guests could give some general recommendations on care for those, whether ice, stretching, and what type of orthotics may be best, whether the half length or the full shoe length orthotics would be preferable, and just, you know, what can you do? I play a lot of golf, and when I play more than one day in a row, my feet and ankles really hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And I used to be able to play 3 or 4 days in a row. Now it's down to 1 or 2, you know, before mm-hmm. I really suffer. So mm-hmm. Anything you could suggest okay. as far as how to alleviate that, okay. I'd appreciate it.
All right. So I presume Jim has probably had flat feet all his life. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So this is not anything new. But as we age, we see the repercussions of those things. In generalizations in terms of full length versus 3/4 length orthotics, it really depends upon your foot structure. Some people need more control in the front of their foot, where they control. We look at the foot at least in 3 zones: the rear foot, the midfoot, and the forefoot. And you can have them rotated one upon the other, and so on. So the prescription of that is really individualized in terms of where you need your support and control. So I would leave that up to the individual practitioner.
Okay.
And then, as I said a little bit earlier, they come in different amounts of rigidity. There's rigid, and then there's soft, and then there's somewhere in between. Usually somewhere in between is pretty good because it gives you a little bit of cushion, yet a little bit of control. What I find is when the plantar fasciitis is flared up, sometimes the orthotics are too rigid, they're too hard, and when you step down on them, it just hurts. So sometimes when you're in an acute phase, it actually works better to go to something that's more soft and accommodating and providing some cushion, and then add something like a heel cup that provides additional cushion, and then you can actually supplement it with taping or things like that for your foot to control the excessive pronation component. So sometimes that works better in the acute phase. In terms of stretching and strengthening, there's some good stretching to do for the soft tissues in the bottom of your foot, where your toes are pointed essentially straight up towards the ceiling, and you bend your ankle like you're stretching your calf. So it's best done up against the edge of a step with your toes pointed up, and then flex your knee over the top of the step to stretch your plantar fascia. But that being said, be careful that you're not pushing yourself into further pronation. So try to maintain an arch at the same time you're doing that stretching. Then the last thing would be to strengthening some of the intrinsic muscles of your feet. And one simple exercise is a towel exercise, where you place your heel on a towel that's spread out on the floor in front of you, and you take the towel with your toes and you grab it and you try to pull it in. So that's an exercise that you can do to strengthen the muscles on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah, Jim, you mentioned ice. After you play around the golf, or you've been on your feet a lot and that foot is sore, a good way to ice the bottom of your foot is if you take a soda bottle and fill with water, put it in the freezer, and then once it freezes, then you can pull it out and you just put the bottle on the floor on a towel, and then you can roll your foot back and forth over the frozen bottle. So you kind of get a combination of a massage, some pressure along with the cold.
Hmm. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Barb in Green Bay, you are next. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Hey, thanks, guys.
Sure.
Just to give you a little background here, I'm a runner, and I've been seeing an orthopedic for my TFL joint in my hip, and his suggestion the first time I saw him was to see a physical therapist, which unfortunately I haven't had a lot of success with. She did deep tissue massage and just showed me a lot of different stretches, and unlock my pelvis, you know, with a couple of different procedures that she used. But I really haven't had any success with that. We did an MRI, and that showed nothing. I also was on prednisone for about a week, and that actually helped. But then as soon as I stopped the course of prednisone, the pain returned. My orthopedic had suggested that I see a physiatrist. And I guess before I do that, I'm wondering kind of what your thoughts were, if you think this is the correct course of treatment, or should I seek out a second physical therapist or another orthopedic?
Can you back up and tell me a little bit? You said the TFL, that's the tensor fascia lata, for people who didn't quite catch that. That's a muscle group that originates at the hip. What was the originating problem? Just a gradual overuse with hip pain?
Just constant hip pain.
Okay. And how long has it been going on?
About 6 months now.
Okay. And you didn't have any kind of change in your running that precipitated this?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This pain was a surprise to me. It came on suddenly when I was doing quick sprints on a track.
Okay.
And an indoor track, which I've done many times in the past.
Okay.
So it came on suddenly, and it just never seemed to go away.
Okay. And you had an MRI of your hip joint?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because I want to rule out any kind of labral or labral impingement problem that could be contributing to that. Well, you know, I would go ahead and see the physiatrist, and you may want to think about seeing another physical therapist. You might want to find somebody who specializes in potentially women's health and looking a little more closely at your pelvis and hip joint as in terms of rotations and instability in your pelvis. Because sometimes this sort of innocuous, insidious hip pain can be the result of subtle shifts, upslips, downslips, rotations of one ilia on another. A close look at your pubic symphysis and the incident center of rotation of your hip as you move. Someone who's really keyed in on the hip anatomy might be helpful.
We did focus on that, and every time I would go into the office, even if I'd go in every day, my hips would be slipped.
Okay. Yeah.
So she would straighten that out, and I think as soon as I walked up the stairs leaving the office, it was out again.
Yeah. We need to find a way to stabilize that in that case. And there are some exercises that are designed for that. They may have to think about, you know, some braces like an SI joint belt might be a possibility.
We have tried the belt.
Okay. If it's a chronic problem, then the physiatrist will sometimes talk about sclerosing injections to provide stability, to actually stabilize, to create a little bit of scar tissue to provide some stability. So
okay.
A physiatrist may be a way to go. I don't know, Bill, if you have anything to add. You're nodding.
Yeah. Barb, did the therapist look at your feet?
She did, yes.
Okay. And looked at your running shoes? And
yes. And we looked at... She had tried a couple over-the-counter orthotics, thinking that might help. But I'm somewhat of a pronator, but not excessive.
Okay.
And I guess my question, you know, for her, she thought, well, maybe we look at custom orthotics. But I didn't want to invest the money if it wasn't going to solve the problem.
Right.
Yeah, if you didn't get much relief from an over-the-counter trial, I wouldn't go to a custom orthotic either.
Okay.
So it sounds like you've had some good intervention, and you guys did a lot of stabilization exercises, a lot of core stuff, Pilates kind of stuff to try to hold that in place once you achieved getting things back in place.
Yeah, she really did shed a lot of light on that and has showed me some exercise to help. I wasn't real happy with my orthopedic, and I thought, well, you know, is there something else that I maybe missed or he missed?
It's unlikely. I mean, I think the orthopedic did what orthopedics do, and they look for things that they can fix surgically or big things they can label. But really the subtle things like the physical therapist found, that's really the purview or the scope of practice of the PT.
Okay.
In terms of medically managing that, the physiatrist is typically the person that is most likely to manage that well.
Yeah, especially
well, that makes me feel more comfortable.
And Barb, if you can find a physiatrist who maybe specializes in sports, you know, they have different specialty areas within physiatry. If you find somebody ideally who works with runners on even a semi-regular basis, that would help as well.
Okay, well, good. So I appreciate your insight. Thank you.
And if let us know how things turn out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill and Lori will be back in probably about a month, and
so
that's about enough time to figure out, hopefully for you to find some relief. Adrian in Minneapolis, it's your turn now. Hi, Adrian.
Hi. I am calling because I am a bike rider. I ride a bicycle pretty often as my main mode of transportation. And what I'm finding is that for the last 6 months, after I ride about 3 or 4 miles, I start to have numbness in 2 of the toes on my left foot. And at first I thought it was because it was cold because I was riding in winter, and now it's summer and it's still tingling.
Well, especially if it's cold, you would think it'd be more than just 2 toes and probably both feet as well.
Yeah.
Adrian, do you ever have this numbness other times when you're not biking?
No, I don't. Only when I'm biking.
Okay. And how quickly does the numbness come on once you start?
It's after about 3 or 4 miles, so I'm guessing it would probably be about
15-20 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes, maybe.
Okay. And which toes are involved?
It's the 2 immediately next to my big toe.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of your second and third toe?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you haven't changed anything in terms of shoes or clips on your pedals or anything like that?
No. You know, I've even tried different shoes. I was thinking maybe the shoes I was wearing were pinching, but it does it in every pair of shoes I wear.
Right. And you never get this when you're walking?
No.
Okay. All right. And in 6 months, has it gotten any better or worse in the last month and a half?
Well, I think it's getting more constant. It happens more often.
Okay.
There were times where, you know, I'd be biking and it wouldn't happen.
Okay. All right. Well, in the biking position, there's a couple of places where nerves can have some pressure placed on them. I mean, one is up in the pelvis area. You know, why would it impact your left foot and not both your left and right? I can't really explain. Also, in that flexed posture with biking, it does put some pressure on the low back area, and that can involve, you know, certain nerves coming out of your back. I would suspect if it was something local in your foot, unless your shoes are just way too tight on that left foot, I'd be surprised if it would be coming from your foot or ankle region while you're biking in particular. Have you tried adjusting your bike at all in terms of height of the seat or the handlebars or anything like that?
You know, I haven't tried adjusting that because otherwise it's perfectly comfortable and I seem to be going very fast.
Yeah, you go fast is good. Yeah, you know, you might try moving your seat forward a little bit to see if you're just having too much of a stretch. You know, because really things stretch in that forward flex position all the way from your neck, all the way through your spine down to your toes. You may get it in one or another because you may have a little bit of a subtle leg length difference, and that's getting more traction on one side or another. We're all asymmetrical side to side, so it may just be a little bit of your body type. But you might think about moving your seat forward just a little bit to minimize some of the stretch on your back and see if that makes a difference. And you can also try a different saddle to see if you're just sitting on your nerve and that's getting it stirred up, irritating enough to give you problems.
Okay.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, Adrian, then I would go in and see a physical therapist. You know, find somebody who, a PT who works in the area of sports, if at all possible, you know, take your bike over there with you so they can see you on your bike and really do a good exam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I would also, the last thing I'd probably do is add some hamstring stretching. You know how you can stretch your hamstrings and pull your foot and toes up when you're doing that. And see if doing that stretching where you have your toes pulled up and back towards you, see if you do that a few times, that numbness comes back. And if it does, and that tells you that your nerve's getting stretched there somehow, and maybe adding some stretching for that nerve into your program would be helpful. It might be getting caught up somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling, Adrian. Appreciate it. And Jackie in New Franklin, Wisconsin, or New Franken. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a history of rotator cuff repair about 5 years ago. Starting in about April of this year, I had a gradual discomfort in my shoulder, now to the point where I cannot lay on it or even lay on the other side while resting. I end up laying on my back so that the discomfort isn't there, and it sometimes shoots down to my wrist. My question is, am I doing more harm than good when I go to the Y and do the weight-resistant exercises?
I would probably at this point say probably yes.
Okay.
Because you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So you're doing something you're doing is aggravating it. What I'd probably do is back down just back off the upper extremity stuff, all any, particularly anything pressing, overhead press, chest press,
okay,
those kinds of things, and go back to your rehab program. Were you giving given a post-op rehab program?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. You know, I'd probably go back and start those things at a fairly low level and work your way up, and that should help with the problem. And then once you get your symptoms under control, then you can talk about going back to the weights at the Y. But you may want to consult with PT to find out what things you should or shouldn't be doing at the Y, given that you have a rotator cuff repair.
Yes.
Because that, you know, the quality of that repair, that tissue is not the same as it was, you know, 30 years ago. So
All right. So what about anti-inflammatories? I tried the Aleve, but after a few weeks, it was causing some stomach discomfort, so I'm just doing Tylenol now.
And does that give you the same relief?
No.
Okay.
not the same relief.
Yeah.
You know, shorter. It's a shorter relief and not as full of relief.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you might find that the Tylenol in combination with backing off the stuff at the Y and maybe adding some ice if you haven't been icing
will
keep your pain under control. And then start back in those rehab exercises. They shouldn't be painful, though.
Okay.
So you may have to start at a lower level than you think.
And Jackie, when you're sleeping on your back, one thing that may help a little bit in that position is put a pillow underneath that arm and shoulder.
Okay.
It'll just keep it elevated and keep it supported a bit, and that may make that supine position, lying on your back position, a little more comfortable for you.
I will try that.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. Thanks very much for calling. And here's another Jackie in Stockton, Illinois. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And
sure.
I'm calling because I'm an athlete at the computer. And I think I'm starting to have a carpal tunnel problem, and I wanted to know if what I can do. I know there's ergonomic kind of things that I can be concerned about. What other kinds of things, and where might I go to get information without first going to a doctor? Maybe I'll try some early intervention things.
Hmm.
It's in my left thumb area, the big padded muscle area, tissue area there, and I press down towards where the wrist comes onto the hand, then it's sore there, and I think even my elbow is swollen from it.
Huh. Well, that's not typical with this problem. Has someone dealt with the ergonomics?
No, I wonder where to go for that.
Is this at your home or at your workplace?
At home.
Okay.
I do a lot of writing at a lot of keyboard work.
Okay. Does the American Physical Therapy Association have something on their website? I know they've done some educational things about worksite setup.
Yes. And I think some things related to carpal tunnel as well, although you're right. This doesn't sound like classic carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
No?
No, uh-uh. Usually with carpal tunnel, your middle three fingers go to sleep.
Oh no, that's not happening.
Yeah. Well, you can actually be grateful about that.
Yes, that's good.
because that makes it more likely that the problem is due to your worksite setup, and it may be more easily relieved with some worksite evaluation. So. So I don't know. I would probably, in terms of resources, without going into the medical system, you can try looking online. You can go to the American Physical Therapy Association and look at Workstation. I know that they've done some educational information, put some things together on that. There's fairly standard stuff that's out there. So I think with you sitting at your computer, spend a little bit of time at your computer finding out about appropriate computer setup. And then you might also think about some strengthening exercises and some stretching exercises for your forearm, wrist, and hand.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Jackie, another place to maybe besides the APTA is contact your local hospital, or is there a hospital close to you that has an injured worker program or a work injury prevention program? A lot of times they have brochures and pamphlets and things you can also download over the internet for that are public education.
Okay.
And if there's an office supply, office furniture place in your locale, maybe contact them. They may have some standard routine information they provide in terms of setting up a good ergonomic station.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah, because this morning I sat down to try to work and it hurt right away.
Yeah.
And so, and Okay, well, yeah, thank you very much.
And I guess, Jackie, the last thing I'd say is that given that, this is what you do all day, going into the medical system would probably be to your advantage. I mean, if you sat down this morning and you felt pain right away, if this is what you do day in and day out, you might think about going into the medical system just for an evaluation and consultation. So you can try the other stuff first, but if you're not successful, I wouldn't be afraid of doing that.
What kind of doctor would you go to for that? I don't think my regular doctor would know anything or much about it.
Well, you should probably see a physical therapist who specializes in worksite injuries.
Mm-hmm. Are there people, it sounds like there are people who do that there?
Oh, yes.
Lots.
Oh, yeah. Lots of them.
Yeah, in fact, two of our staff spent the weekend at a course learning more about doing these kinds of assessments. So,
and where's your? I know you're in Madison, but what's the name of the place?
It's UW Health, the Research Park Clinic, Sport and Spine Center.
UW Sports and Spine Center.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah, the Research Park Clinic. But several of our facilities have people who specialize in work evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll give you guys a call.
Right. Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks a lot for calling. Tashi in Madison, we go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. What I have is one of those rare conditions where my both knees get so freezing cold even during summer, like today and yesterday when it's like 80-some degrees outside. My whole body is sweating, but my both knees are freezing cold. And I drive for a living, and when I'm driving, I constantly have to have a blanket over my knees so they're not cold. But when I walk or when I jog around, play around, when I'm standing, it's not there as if it has disappeared. But when I sit down, within a couple minutes, and both knees freeze without a blanket.
Okay.
And I have went to my regular doctor, got it checked, and he said there hasn't been much research done in this regard, and then he cannot help me. And then he suggested that I go to an ortho, and then I went to ortho, and they took a bunch of x-rays. It didn't turn out anything, and then she suggested I go to a neurologist. And then I went to neurologist. They did a lot of tests, but didn't turn out to be anything. So, but my knees have been getting cold progressively worse over the last 3 years. I don't know. I'm at a loss what to do with that.
Tashi, is it just the knees around your kneecap area, or is it your knees, including your lower legs and feet?
Just the kneecap, just around the kneecap area on both of my legs.
Okay. All right. So very local. And once you get out of the sitting position, how quickly does it warm back up?
Within a couple, 3 minutes,
okay.
It disappears.
Okay. So
I don't have any pain or anything when I run or play around. When I'm standing, there's no pain.
Okay.
It's just a freezing sensation.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the physicians you've gone to and the tests they've done have ruled out major orthopedic problems. They've ruled out nerve problems. And I'm assuming your first physician also probably looked at from a vascular, a blood supply problem. So those are the main things you would have to worry about.
Right.
So it doesn't give you an answer, but it also means you don't have things that you don't want to be dealing with. A couple things to try is, one, you can go to a drugstore and maybe purchase a knee sleeve. It's like
okay.
an elastic band you can pull over your legs up over your knee.
Okay.
And it's like having a tight T-shirt on, and that may just keep some of the warmth in and around the knees.
Uh-huh.
Also, you might want to, if you have it, adjust the seat of your car a little bit. It may just be that it's the pressure behind the knees, or I would move the seat up a little closer to the gas pedal, move it away from the gas pedal. If you can change the tilt of the seat, I would try to adjust whatever you can in the seat of your car.
Okay.
And see if you can find a sweet spot that takes care of that for you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So some things to do there. Good
luck. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, one of our guests. The other, Bill Boisenault, associate professor at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. talking aches and pains today and how to deal with them with our guests, Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in. One open line, so give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We'll get you on. Rick in Madison, you're next. Hi, Rick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering, I have experienced over the years tendonitis in both my elbows, and I wear an armband at work, and it seems to work pretty well. But one of the things I notice that I do is when I sleep, I roll up my wrist and I lay on it. And a lot of times I'll wake up in the morning, and both wrists I do this with, and I'll either have a numb hand or the tendonitis is more painful. And I'm sure it's because of this habit. And I'm just wondering if there's like a splint or something out there to use in the evening so I'm not curling my wrist up like this.
Yep. Yes, there is. Yeah, and it's actually one of the first mainstays of treatment that we try, and that's a wrist splint. You should be able to get them at any local drugstore, but usually there's a cutout for your thumb. Your thumb slips through a little hole, and then it just wraps around your wrist. It holds your wrist in extension.
Okay.
So, I'd be the same way if I curl my fingers or flex my elbows at night. When I wake up, my hands are completely numb.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So a couple of those wrist splints should help with that. It also helps with the tennis elbow if you're doing any kind of heavy work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like having a little bit of aid or support for that so you don't overuse those muscles so much.
Okay, great.
Thanks much. Yep, thanks for calling. And on to Renee in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
My question is, I have polymyalgia, levator scapular syndrome, chronic tendonitis in my elbows and shoulders, bursitis in my hips, and arthritis in my back, hands, and knees. And I am still working. So what I want to know is, and I'm 52, what I want to know is there any exercises that I can do that don't make these things worse? Because everything that I have tried and been sent to physical therapists and things that everything makes it worse. And then you can't move and it doesn't seem to get better.
Yep.
Is there anything that I can do? The only thing the rheumatologist recommended was steroids, and I just didn't do that. I thought that it was just the benefits didn't outweigh the risks at this point.
Sure. First of all, in someone like you, dosing the exercise when you have so many joints involved is really difficult. The second thing is dosing the exercise in the context of you're still working makes it that much harder because we have to try to figure out what's the right amount of activity for you given your required activity at work. So we have to try to balance against that. Yeah. So it's not easy. So my recommendation would be a pool.
Okay.
I can't think of any land-based exercise, anything that comes to mind that sounds like a good fit for you.
I'd like to be able to just walk.
Yeah.
I used to walk a couple miles a day.
Sure.
And I can't even get...
Yeah.
I can get a half a mile, but I have to stop in between.
Yeah.
So everything kind of locks up in my back. And,
sure.
And am I hurting myself by trying to keep walking?
It's a fine line. It's good for you to have regular exercise, but if it's at the expense of beating up your joints, so that what we often see people do is they go out and they walk and they have this day of increased activity. Well, then they have to decrease their activity for the next 2 days to recover.
Yes.
So there's no net gain.
That's exactly what happens.
So I think a pool would be a good alternative for you. You can do some deep water unweighted activities that will be good for your back, for your hips, for your knees. You can just get in the pool, at chest deep water and just walk forward, backwards, sideways. So you get some energy, keep your joints moving without loading them so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be your best chance of success.
Okay.
And Renee, I agree with that 100%. And the goal would be is that as you gain strength and flexibility, you can start doing more of a land-based program.
Mm-hmm.
But what you described in terms of a starting point, the pool, you can work multiple body parts and areas at one time. So instead of doing 100 calisthenic type exercise, you can hit multiple muscle groups at one time in the water. And the buoyancy of the water will help protect the joints. But the goal is that you tolerate more of a land-based program over time, too.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I'd also say that for someone like you with your joints, That may be the case when you stop working, but as long as you're working and you're looking for something as a way to stay healthy and fit, the pool may be always be your fitness component. Yeah. You know, if you're doing, I have my regular fitness stuff I do in the pool. Then I have some other exercises that I do on land that are specific for strengthening this or keeping this joint loose or whatever. But I think the mainstay of your program, particularly as long as you're working, is going to be in the pool.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck, Renee. Thank you very much for calling. And Lee in Cable, we'll go to you now. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had a problem with my right arm for a couple of years now, at least 2 years. And I don't really know how to explain it. It feels like it's in the muscle, and it kind of feels like a tight rubber band stretching and then snapping when I try to raise my arm. What could that be?
It's in your shoulder?
No, it's not in the joint. It feels like it's in the muscle. It's about a third of the way down from the top of my shoulder on my right arm.
Okay. In front?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Well, my best guess, given what you said, is that you have an unstable long head of the biceps tendon. In the front of your shoulder, you have the biceps muscles in front. When you lift your arm forward, your long head of the biceps works to do that, and it rides in a little groove in the upper part of your arm, and there's some what's called retinacular tissue that holds that in place. You can have a snapping biceps tendon that kind of snaps in and out of that groove.
That sounds right.
So I'd probably go see your physician, see an orthopedic, and have that diagnosis verified. It's not a terribly common problem, so it depends upon how disabling it is, you know, and they might send you to physical therapy and teach you some, you know, movement modifications. You know, do you want to go in surgically and have anything done? It's not something that they go in and they operate on, but it'd be good to verify that that's what's going on.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Janine in Madison, we go to you now. Hi.
Hello. Yes, my name's Janine, and I've been treating with physical therapy for about a year now. And without going into all my personal facts, which you can ask me if you want, but I've been referred for hip surgery, and they want to give me the surgeon won't even see me until I have a fluro hip injection of steroids. And I guess my question is, can you briefly describe the downside of those injections?
Boy, I guess my first response would be, well, that would be a question for the physician who's requiring it.
Okay.
So I can see the fluoroscopy guided because it's an important joint and it's deep in there and they want to make sure to get in there. And I'll just say this in general, and maybe Bill has more to add.
Mm-hmm.
Many times a physician will inject with a steroid as a kind of diagnostic test to see what your response is to that. And depending upon your response to that, they can say with greater confidence whether or not you'd be a good surgical candidate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, that's my experience as well. It's diagnostic in nature based on how you respond or don't respond to the injection.
Okay. Yes, I've been told that it's both therapeutic and diagnostic. So.
Okay.
Okay, so no other really downside you want to mention on the...
No, it sounds like if they're doing it under fluoroscopy, they're being cautious to make sure they're getting in where they need to go and so on. So, no, a one-time injection, I don't see a problem with that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, Randy in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Randy. Well, let's see here. We get Randy on here. Whoops. Oh, we had Randy on here. Let's try it once more. Now we'll try it. Randy, are you there?
Yeah, here I am. I gotcha.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
My question is, I'm 57, and I fell off a ladder and cracked my femur bone. I had a new hip put in, but I'll never get back to normal. This is last October I had this surgery done.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yep.
Do you have a question about that?
Yes, I do, ma'am. Will I ever get back to normal with a new hip replacement?
Oh, will you ever get back to normal?
Right.
Okay. I guess my question is, what's normal for you? What is it that you can't do that you want to do?
Well, basically, I'm a maintenance man. I go up and down a lot of ladders.
Okay.
A lot of stepping, a lot of stairs.
Okay.
And I get wore out after the first 6 hours.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that'll ever get strengthened.
Okay. Does it just get tired?
Right.
Okay.
And I get sore, very sore.
Okay. Have you been to physical therapy?
I'm going to them now, right.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You just started that, or you've been going since October, or?
No, I've just been about 2 weeks into it now.
Okay. Yeah, I'd give the physical therapy a chance to work. If you're doing a lot of ladder climbing, that's a lot of physical work. And the other thing to keep in mind is that, you had this femur fracture and you have a new hip, and so it's pretty easy to focus on those big things that were broken. But if you had a fall that was great enough to fracture your femur, all those muscles were injured too. So it takes probably longer for those muscles to come back than for the fracture and the hip replacement to heal. So that's the focus of the therapy, is the rehabilitating the muscles that were also injured. Plus, after the fall and the injury to the bones and muscles, then you're immobilized because of the femur fracture.
So good luck, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Lori Tyne, Brody, and Bill Boisenault, our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking aches and pains and sprains and strains with our two guests today, Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor at the UW Medical School. Glad to have them along, and certainly you are welcome to join in as well with your questions. And Randy was another caller that we had on who had fallen and fractured a hip.
Right, and had a hip replacement back in October of 2006. And overall, it sounded like he was doing well, considering it's only been 8 months since the injury and the surgery. But he just started therapy a couple of weeks ago and was wondering if he's ever going to get completely better. And the one comment I wanted to make, besides the exercises that he's doing, if he hasn't, to make sure he lets the therapist know what his work day is like, all the activities. He mentioned climbing ladders, doing a lot of that. But any person who goes to see a therapist, the more we know about what their typical day is like at home, at work, can give us a lot of guidance of things we can do from education's perspective.
All right, Seal in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hello. I seem to have kind of weak muscles in my upper back, especially on the right side, and they cramp up, get very painful, and I'm just wondering what's causing it, and I know I should be doing some exercises, but when it hurts so much, I don't know whether I should go ahead with the exercises or not.
Well, and it's good to be cautious, because too much strengthening or stretching the wrong muscles can actually make a problem worse. See, how long has this been going on?
Well, off and on, very, very few times for a couple of years, but lately it's been happening more often.
Okay. And any numbness or tingling going down into your arm on that side?
No.
Okay. All right. So it's more cramping and the pain that goes along with that.
That's right.
Okay. Have you seen a physical therapist for this issue?
Well, I did a year or so ago, and she gave me these exercises, but I haven't done them as faithfully as I should have, I know.
Okay.
But for some reason, it seems to have gotten worse lately.
All right. Do you still have the exercises around?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, my recommendation would be, if the cramping and the pain is similar to what you had a year ago when you saw the therapist, is to pull those exercises out. And if you feel that you can do them correctly, is to hit them pretty consistently for a few weeks and see if that makes a difference. If it doesn't seem to be helping and or you seem to be getting worse, then another visit to the therapist will be warranted, because maybe you need a different kind of exercise program or different types of strengthening or stretches. But it might be worthwhile going back to that program and do it consistently for a few weeks and see if that makes a difference for you.
What especially makes it come on?
Well, it can. That I don't know if I can tell you specifically, but cramping can be associated with muscles that are weak, muscles that are just overworked. So there can be a postural component to it. On a rare occasion, it can be a nerve that's being compressed that accounts for the weakness. There's a lot of different possibilities.
I see.
And again, that's why, you know, seeing a therapist and have them examine you can come up with a good individualized program for you based on what the underlying issue is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Lynn in Waukesha, hello to you.
Hi there. My issue is I recently fell on my right wrist. I thought it was broken. I went in and had it x-rayed, and they said, no, it's not broken. They said it's just a contusion to the bone, and initially it hurt so much that I couldn't turn my car to start the ignition. And so I thought, you know, it's really hurt, but glad to know it's not broken. I'm wondering, with a contusion to the bone, is it okay to continue to work it and use it? Will it just go away on its own, or does it need to be rested? Or if it isn't just a contusion, how would I know whether there were any ligaments or tendons involved?
Well, that's a very good question. This was last week, you said?
2 weeks now.
2 weeks ago. And is it getting better?
It is better, but there's still certain positions where it really hurts and I feel it.
Okay. And when they took the x-rays of your wrist, how many x-rays did they take?
They took three different angles.
Three. Okay. All right.
At least two, I should say, of the ulna.
Of the ulna. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is that where most of your pain is, on the ulnar side by your little finger?
Yes, outside. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Because there is a bone at the base of your thumb that is often fractured and is not seen on the standard two-view radiographs. You need a special radiograph for it. So if you were sore on your thumb side, I might have you go back and have that double-checked.
Yeah, not at all. It's just on the outside, below the bone on your wrist.
Okay. So you don't really know from a radiograph if the ligaments or tendons have been damaged, but you can expect that with a fall and a contusion that they probably were damaged. So normal use is, it sounds like in your case it's going to be fine because you are getting better. If you were a manual laborer swinging a hammer, carrying 40, 50-pound bags of stuff, then I'd say normal use is probably too much for it. Mm-hmm. But for the average person, normal use is good. I might start on some strengthening exercises, doing grip strengthening, like squeezing a sponge in some warm water repetitively, taking a newspaper when you're done with it at the end of the day and holding it open and just crumpling it up into your hand, stretching your wrist all directions.
Okay.
And then if you have some very lightweights or something small like a 1 pound hammer, doing some wrist curls in four directions, palm up, palm down, and then lifting it sideways too.
Okay, good.
It's all good.
Good. I was hoping I could do some exercises and that wouldn't exacerbate the situation. So
it should not. If it does, you need to back off a little bit.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. And on to Debbie and Nina. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Complicated mess. I have MS, but 7 months ago I was taking horseback riding, a therapeutic horseback riding, and somebody was helping me on the horse and really winged my leg way out, which caused my body to twist.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of hip pain for a month in the different muscles going around the hip. And then a month later, I had really bad muscle spasms, and it caused a severe scoliosis. Well, not severe, but a good scoliosis. My problem now is I have so much hip pain, and, you know, I'm branded with MS, so that's all anybody looks at. And I really think that there is an issue more than the MS, even though it's being complicated by the MS.
Okay. Debbie, have you seen anybody for this pain since the injury?
Oh, yeah. I've gone to a physiatrist. I've seen an orthopedist. I've seen my neurologist.
Okay.
I go to PT. I do different PTs. I've had a couple different people work on me.
Okay.
And I do massage therapy.
All right. Have the PTs examined your hip? Have they looked specifically at that hip and pelvic and low back area?
Yeah, and incidentally, my pelvis is also rotated. They have. One person thought I had an upslip, but she couldn't seem to release anything.
Okay.
And I just, myself, I do a lot of stretches, and I was stretching a lot last night, and I heard my hip joint kind of crack or release.
Okay.
And when I looked in the mirror, to me, I looked like I had less of a curve in my back than I did.
Okay.
But this morning was back to the same. But anyway, I just didn't know if you had any other ideas that I could pursue.
Hey, well, I think it sounds like the therapists have examined the appropriate areas based on what you described with the injury.
I see.
And have they tried any kind of a stabilization belt, like a sacroiliac joint belt?
No, I was looking at that myself online. I saw one. They talked about it, but being they couldn't release anything, they didn't.
Right. Because that's the only thing I could think of offhand. And it sounds like the focus, appropriately so, was kind of stretching and strengthening. But sometimes when those don't work, you just need to stabilize an area and let things calm down. And actually things will stiffen up a bit. And then afterward, you can become a little more aggressive with some of the same exercise you did in the past. And there are certain types of sacroiliac joint belts that are fairly comfortable to wear. They don't interfere with sitting. And that might be worth a try.
And sitting does seem to bother me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And you said you were doing stretching. It may be that the therapist should look at the stretching you're doing, if they haven't for a while, to make sure that it's not being counterproductive. If they're trying to stabilize an area and you're stretching, you could be undoing some of the progress that they're making.
Okay. And one other thing, when my leg comes in, it really hurts. I am more comfortable sitting with my leg rotated out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More.
Yep.
They did talk about hip capsulation.
Capsule ablation?
Yeah, is that the right word?
A-B-L-A-T-I-O-N, ablation?
Capsulation, I thought it was.
Okay.
No?
Mean like an injection?
No, that the hip had, it's the hip capsulation on the femur?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What about the hip capsule?
Hip capsule, yeah.
Okay. What are they saying, that you injured it?
That's what they're talking about.
Okay, all right.
And why I was getting groin pain. But since I had the scoliosis occurred, it caused 3 bulging discs because I'm so curved.
Yeah.
And I have had some injections in the discs, and that did help with some of the spasms that I was having.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just summarize by saying, you know, with the scoliosis, it's really complicating because you don't know which came first, and with your MS and the discs, and it all gets very complicated. But if the orthopedist hasn't looked specifically at your hip for a labral tear or an impingement in your hip, that might be another direction to go.
Right.
Good luck.
Had our PA and lateral, and they didn't see anything.
Yeah. You won't see it on a standard radiograph.
No. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Debbie. Appreciate your call. And Ken and Slinger, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I was just flipping through the channels, and it's actually a miracle I got a hold of you guys. I have, like, my 100th appointment today.
Oh.
actually, I've been off of work for a year. I've seen, you name it, I've seen them. I've had osteopathic, I've had trigger point injections.
What's your problem first, though?
Thoracic spine pain.
Thoracic
from
spine.
A whiplash.
Okay.
Okay.
I've had thoracic spine off and on, say, I'm 43 right now. I've had it since I was, like, late 20s, and it's been okay. It's been manageable with chiropractic, but after I got whiplash, it's just horrible. And I like I said, I've had discograms, epidurals, trigger points, CT scans, MRIs, x-rays, bone scan, TENS unit, osteopathic, you name it, physical therapy.
Okay. All right. So, Ken, when you say the thoracic spine, I mean, the thoracic spine is the part of the back that connects the neck to the low back area. So is it in the area of your shoulder blades?
T7 to T10.
Okay. That's where the pain is.
Yes. Severe pain.
Okay. And that's the area where all the testing has been done?
Well, I've had full body scans, full bone scans. I'm looking at, I have mild bulging discs. I have some arthritis, and I have lowering of the lower spine, the hip area.
Okay.
I mean, they've looked at everything and anything.
Okay.
And right now they're calling it myofascial or myofascial pain.
Right.
Which they claim is a wastebasket diagnosis.
Well, it usually is people are given that label when everything else has been ruled out, or mm-hmm. the thought has been everything else has been ruled out. Well, when you're first describing your symptoms and the whiplash injury, one of the things I first thought of, although it sounds like it's been covered in the test you've had, is the thoracic spine is not an uncommon area for pain to be referred coming from the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if the pain is along the inner part of your shoulder blade area.
It is.
It's a common pain referral pattern from the cervical spine.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had not really looked at your neck, that would have been one of the recommendations that I've made. But if they have really examined your neck in detail, then it sounds like their diagnosis probably is appropriate by excluding all the other things that they can exclude with the tests that they've done. You know, and so for myofascial pain syndrome, with the things you've had, a good low-impact aerobic program is very important. And as one of our other callers, working in a pool can be mm-hmm. a good place for you to do a lot of strengthening and stability work. And it is easy on the joints of your body. And you can also do some conditioning work in the pool, which is very important for you, again, with minimal stress on the joints.
Okay. Even all the physical therapy and the stretching I do every day and all of that, it's really frustrating.
Sure it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, you've tried lots of things. You have lots of tests, and it sounds like you're still stuck in a very similar spot, which is a very frustrating place to be. I think what you have to really is work hard with an exercise program. Again, the pool's a good place. You may have pain when you exercise, but you're not damaging anything in the water.
Okay.
And you know, to do as much of the strengthening, stability, and endurance work you can in that venue.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Thank you for calling. Susan in Summit, hello to you.
Hi. I've got a problem, and I actually called about it once before. I've got some hip pain that I had some x-rays, and my hip is fine and everything. I went to physical therapist and did some exercise that really helped, and it turns out it was my back. I have a tendency to bend from the waist and not from the hip. And so I'm trying to stop doing that. And with the exercises, it went away. My problem was I was not doing that much recently, and it started to hurt again. And yesterday I fell off a horse and landed flat on my back.
Mm.
And the thing is I've got swelling in my back, and I know a muscle injury there. But the biggest problem is the hip now hurts like crazy. And when I move just the hip passively, if I don't use my muscles, the hip joint doesn't have pain. But when I go to take a step and then move forward
right.
with my leg moving back, that's when it hurts like crazy.
Lori's shaking her head like she knows what's going on, and so is Bill.
Well, they said, you know, you said the first time that it was coming from your back, and I think you just reinforced that.
Okay.
So,
Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. It sounds very similar. And so I would go through probably a similar sequence of treatment that you've had in the past, as long as it appears to be the same for you, from your perspective.
Okay. I guess my question is, when can I start, and do I have to worry about the damage that I've already done, or can I start doing the exercises now? I know when I've been doing that, the cat arch and then the hollow. That was one of the exercises, and I've been trying to do that, and that's I can really feel that in my back in terms of the muscles, but I'm just wondering if it's safe to start doing that now.
Yes, I think that is a safe exercise to do. Your back is unloaded. Just do the movement slowly, and pushing into a little bit of pain and pressure is just fine. Don't push to the point where you're feeling any kind of sharp pain or stabbing pain, so avoid that.
Okay.
But that's what I was going to recommend. If you go back to the exercises that you were doing in the very beginning last
mm-hmm.
time, but that's what you described as a very safe position to exercise in.
Okay, and the stepping. I mean, I'm walking strangely now because of that, and I'm just wondering if I should favor it because it hurts every time that I take the step, or.
Yeah, I would not force the issue on that leg, and
okay.
the assumption should be that within the next week, you should be moderately improved in terms of the pain with stepping. If a week or so from now you're not any better with that step, then I would go in and be seen by your physician.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, Susan. And on to Kurt in Eagle next. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Quick comment. Gentleman that called in earlier about the his knees were cold, said he was a driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I, too, am a truck driver, and a lot of the seats in the trucks have, like, a telescoping cushion right at the seat behind the knees. It's harder than the rest of the seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's also elevated from the rest of the seat. It's kind of like putting a 2x4 behind your knees.
Okay.
I had the same problem.
Huh.
It's removable. I took it out of my truck. I was at the point of getting a new seat. It solved the problem.
Wow.
I was basically cutting off the circulation to my knees.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, if he is a truck driver, he might want to try that.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Kurt.
Hey, fantastic.
Anyway, my problem, left, I've got torn meniscus tears in both of my knees. I am extremely flat-footed on my left foot, and I have developed some considerable back problems, left lower back. I've been to a chiropractor, went there for, 2-3 months. Problem really didn't get any better. I was x-rayed. She told me that I do have some curvature of my spine. I do have scoliosis. And after 2-3 months at the chiropractor, she basically told me I have a bulging disc and gave me some more. The exercises I was given did no good. She gave me some more exercises and said, if you feel tingling in your buttocks or down your leg, stop. And, boy, first time I did it, it went all the way down to my feet. And I thought, well, this isn't working. And I really just, I determined chiropractic wasn't going to do it. So what are my options?
Well, have you seen a physical therapist at all along the way, Kurt?
I had this problem, 12, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And a chiropractor fixed me up just fine. Then about 9 or 10 years ago, it came back. Chiropractor actually made it worse. Different chiropractor, and they sent me to a physical therapist, did some massage therapy and such, and that fixed it.
Okay.
But this is different. This is a whole lot more severe. This is the kind of thing that if I'm working and such, and I lay down for even a half hour, lay down to watch TV or something, it's extremely painful.
Okay.
All
right. Well, Kurt, a couple of things. The fact that you mentioned the tingling down to the foot and down to the feet and the toes, if you haven't seen a physician, a medical doctor, it might be a good time to see someone who can examine you from that perspective. For a physical therapist, there are some massage techniques, but there's also very specific exercise designed to take symptoms out of the foot and out of the leg. And the therapist would know that based on their examination of you. But, you know, with the new symptoms that you have, it wouldn't hurt to see a medical doctor and have them examine you, and especially with the tingling and numbness down to the feet.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Kurt. Appreciate your call very much. And Lori and Bill, thank you so much.
Thank
it's a
you.
Pleasure.
It was great.
Great calls.
Great
today.
Calls.
Great
yep.
calls all
you
day.
Bet.
I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but that's always the way it works when they're on. And you guys are back July 9th.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, we are.
All right. Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor at the UW Medical School, our guests. And they'll be back on July 9th, and we'll have another chance to talk with them. So looking forward to that. You guys have pets, by the way?
Pets? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, we both have. Well, I'll tell you what. You should listen tomorrow because Dr. Sandy Sawchuk will be on from the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. She'll have some advice on healthy pet care.
Great. Can always use it.
I always use advice like that.
Exactly.
Always use that advice.
Yep.
All right. Thanks again, Lori and Bill. And thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.